Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
The news today is simply stunning. We're in the midst of the most fantastic and terrifying situation in American history. Indeed, I would go so far as to say in the history of the world. It's truly a battle between David and Goliath, where Goliath is the internet giants, the mainstream media, the Democratic Party, the globalists, all allied against David, whose true name is Donald J. Trump, where he appears to have laid a trap for the Democrats, the globalists, and everyone else to tumble into with regard to the election. Now, before I proceed, I want to say that my remarks today take on more significance than usual because of my special feature guest up tomorrow. About an hour ago, I got off the phone with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, who's agreed to come on the show tomorrow. And I was fairly dumbfounded to discover that Jesse is not just a critic of Donald Trump. He is a vehement, outspoken critic of Donald Trump. So he believes the whole election was for real, that Trump got his ass kicked, that he's had 33 cases thrown out of court so far, a point to which I shall return. I was dumbfounded. It was everything I could do to get off the phone because I want Jesse to save all this for the show tomorrow. Now, what I'm telling you is he and I will talk for the first hour and then we'll take calls a second. And you may want to, you know, be prepared to take advantage of this opportunity. We go way back. I was on the faculty of the University of Minnesota on its Duluth campus from 1987 to 2006 when I retired. And when Jesse became governor, he always had a keen interest in the assassination of JFK. He also had a governor's show for an hour every Friday. And in 1998, shortly after the publication of my first collection of Epworth studies on the assassination of JFK, which is entitled Assassination Science, where I brought together some of the best qualified individuals, indeed I will say the best qualified individuals to ever study the assassination, Dr. Robert B. Livingston, world authority on the human brain, and expert on wound ballistics, having supervised an emergency medical hospital for injured Okinawans and Japanese prisoners of war during the Battle of Okinawa, who was then had been the scientific director of two of the National Institutes of Health for Neurological Diseases and Blindness. I had David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, PhD in physics from Wisconsin, MD from Michigan, board certified in radiation oncology, so that he had an expertise in the interpretation of X-rays, where a third being Charles Crenshaw, MD, who was present in trauma room number one when JFK's moribund body was brought in. He was the last physician to see the president. He actually closed his eyes when he was wrapped in sheets and placed into the bronze ceremonial casket, and then 2 days later was responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin, Lee Oswald. Jack White, a legendary photo and film analyst. Bradley Keziah, who was Crenshaw's attorney. I mean, it was just a fabulous assortment, and it really was a blockbuster. It was a book that would go through some 14 printings. It's the only book I published, now, of course, 40 in number, that actually had a significant royalty benefit, and where, you know, Open Court was very, very happy with the book and would publish two sequels, Murder in Dealey Plaza in 2000 and The Great Zapruder Film Hoax in 2003. Well, Jesse took note of its appearance, and I was notified the day before that he would be coming to Duluth, and he wanted me to join him on his radio show. Ostensibly, he was coming to Duluth because we had an aquarium there that was a joint public-private venture that had been losing money. But he spent the first 15 minutes talking about the aquarium and the other 45 talking to me about JFK and the book Assassination Science. I mean, and for good reason. I think historically it will prove to have been the book that shattered the cover-up by demonstrating conclusively that the autopsy x-rays of JFK had been altered to conceal a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, that another brain had been substituted for that of JFK, and that there were very serious questions about the authenticity of the available version of the Zapruder film. Good reasons to believe it had been altered. David Mantic, who published his studies about the X-rays, also produced proof that there was a second shot to the head, where, according to the official account, Jack had been hit in the back of the neck by a bullet that supposedly traversed and exited his throat, went into the back of John Connolly, did all this damage, and yet was allegedly this virtually pristine bullet found on a stretcher that has come to be known as a magic bullet, where David would, by and by, take a patient with similar chest and neck dimensions and calculate, you know, draw the official account and find it wasn't even anatomically possible for a bullet to transit the neck without hitting any bony structures. But it was an effort to compensate for the fact that Jack had actually been hit in the throat by a wound of entry, which Malcolm Perry, MD, a very skilled surgeon, had performed a simple tracheostomy incision through the wound and had reported during the Parkland press conference three times that Jack had been hit by a bullet, that it was a wound of entry, that, yes, the bullet was coming at him, which meant, of course, a shooter in front. Which, of course, the Warren Commission would do everything it could within its power to obfuscate, but which was nevertheless broadcast widely on radio and television that day, as well as subsequently a report that Malcolm Kilduff, who is the acting press secretary, relayed when he reported at 1 p.m. Central Time the president was dead. That was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head while pointing to his right temple. A finding attributed Admiral George Berkeley, the president's personal physician, where, believe it or not, both of those wounds were widely reported on radio and television that day. Indeed, this was the event that put television into the homes of virtually every family in America, because, you know, events of such significance would be reporting. And then, of course, 2 days later, we saw what we thought was Jack Ruby shooting down Lee Oswald. Now, remarkably enough, another student of JFK has found good reasons to suspect it was an impersonator of Jack Ruby who actually shot an FBI agent by the name of James Bookout. This may no doubt come as news to most of you, but I can assure you that Gary King, Larry Rivera, and I put Ralph Sinquet through his paces, where Ralph has made a number of contributions based upon the fact, I think, that he is a chiropractor. And so that when I was first looking at the question of whether or not Lee Oswald was actually in the doorway at the time the shooting took place, which, if true, of course, would mean he not only could not have been the lone demented gunman, but could not have been one of the multiple shooters, where my most recent calculation indicate there were a total of 8, astonishingly enough, 6 of whom I can give you, you know, name, rank, serial number. One was a Dallas deputy sheriff, another was an Air Force expert, another was a Dallas police officer, another was an anti-Castro Cuban, another was a CIA gunman, another was Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman. Another was, I think, representing Israel. I'm telling you, we really have this thing down. But the fact of the matter is that the book was sensational. Jesse wanted to talk about it. I was certainly glad to accommodate. We subsequently had a number of interactions in relation to JFK when he went back to the Harvard School of Government as a visiting professor, after having served as governor of Minnesota. He flew me back to give me a lecture. He was having a lecture with his class once a week, and he invited me back to give a lecture on the assassination, which I believe was the only lecture on the assassination of JFK ever given at Harvard. I would, in years later, give a such similar talk. Actually, it was more about the back wound specifically, and how, if you know exactly where Jack was hit in the back, well, it's easy to prove the existence of a conspiracy, because it wasn't at the back of the neck. It was 5.5 inches down lower, just to the right of the spinal column, a shallow shot that only went in about as far as the second knuckle on your little finger and had no point of exit. In fact, I'm very confident that the bullet found on the stretcher that was supposed to have done all the magical feats was actually the bullet that hit Jack in the back, which appears to have been fired by this deputy sheriff by the name of Harry Weatherford from the top of the county records building, using a .30-06 to fire a Mannlicher Carcano bullet using a plastic collar known as a sabot that impacted him on the back, where Jim Mars and I agreed on this, where he and I also collaborated on a co-authored article about the backyard photographs and concluded that the body double for Lee Oswald, who when shown one of these by the Dallas detective, homicide detective Will Fritz, said that was someone else's body with his face pasted onto it, and that with enough time he'd be able to prove it. Well, we have been able to prove it. He was 100% correct. And we've even, through Larry Rivera's brilliant research, been able to establish exactly who it was who was his body double, a fellow named Roscoe White, who was a Dallas police officer tied to the CIA, who actually fired from the closest distance, but because he would have hit Jack, he pulled his shot. So it wound up in the grass, opposite the grassy knoll, and was later picked up by a Dallas police lieutenant and never seen from again. But where, you know, Ralph observed that we don't actually have to narrow down the facial features. This is a man peering out, appearing to see what from the doorway, trying to figure out what's going on. But on the basis of the height, the weight, the build, the shirt, and the T-shirt, we can establish it was Lee Oswald because he had a similar height, weight, build, shirt, and T-shirt. And the remarkable correspondence where Richard Hook would do, you know, massively detailed comparisons between the Oswald shirt and the shirt on the man in the doorway. I mean, he began with 5, 7, 10, worked up, I don't know, maybe as many as 47 points of similarity. But where Larry Rivera would subsequently not only find a suitable photograph of Roscoe White to superimpose over the backyard photographs, to confirm Lee's observation that it was his face pasted on somebody else's body that was Roscoe White, who had much broader shoulders and a more muscular build than Lee by quite a margin. So that not only does Roscoe fit exactly, but when you impose Lee, he's far more diminutive. I mean, he couldn't possibly have filled out the clothing there the way in which Roscoe did, and where we now believe Roscoe was a heavy hitter and may have taken out as many as 50 witnesses. 50 witnesses, Roscoe White. Very, very nasty guy. So we, Gary King and Larry Rivera and I have done some 325 new JFK shows where we were getting current about the latest research on the assassination. At the rate of one per week. So you figure out how many years that represents, right? 52 weeks a year. We seldom skipped a week. So we're talking about over a 6-year period. And where Larry did absolutely sensational work, including in relation to the latest documents that have been released under Trump, where apparently there were sufficient objections that some yet remain to be released, but where those that have been most recently released were not released in a electronic format where you could search, but only in hard copy, so you'd have to go through them painstakingly. But where Larry has done a brilliant job to debunk the idea that Lee Oswald went to Mexico City to show exactly how it was done, very, very elaborate deception, because, of course, the government was insisting that Lee was a pro-Castro communist sympathizer, and proof was he'd gone to Mexico City to obtain a visa to transit to Cuba to make an escape back to the Soviet Union, where he had performed a pseudo-defection to the Soviet Union when he was a radar operator at Atsugi in the Marine Corps, and where, as a former Marine Corps officer, I can assure you, if there were any questions about Lee Oswald's loyalty to the United States, he would never have been stationed at our most secure military base, from which U-2 overflights were taking place, where Oswald was a radar operator, knew the altitudes, which the Soviets did not. so that after his defection, when Eisenhower and Khrushchev were supposed to have a summit meeting that would reduce world tensions, Khrushchev accused the United States of spying on the Soviet Union. Eisenhower replied in the negative. Then Khrushchev brought out the pilot, Francis Gary Powers, and parts of the U-2 that they succeeded in shooting down. L. Fletcher Prouty, who was a former assistant to Edward Lansdale, whom we believe actually organized the assassination by positioning the shooters and determining the sequence of shots, had been sent off to the South Pole because he would never have stood for such nonsense. Anyone looking at the order of the limousines in the motorcade, for example, would have known immediately that something was terribly, terribly wrong, because JFK limo was put right up front when it should have been in the middle, preceded by the lower-ranking dignitaries, the mayor of the city, and the vice president, where the mayor, it turns out, joined the CIA back in 1956, and his brother was deputy director of the CIA, whom JFK would subsequently dismiss, Charles Campbell, an icon of the intel industry. And there's no doubt in my mind that they knew Dealey Plaza was a perfect setting for an assassination. You had a whole mass of factors converging here to take him out. Well, Jesse invited me back. I gave a talk there. I've given a talk at Cambridge, as I say, about the location of the wound to the back. And at Yale, unusually, because a student there invited me to come and speak on both JFK and 9/11, for which he was subsequently heavily reprimanded. But I say, I am very confident I'm the only person in the world who's ever given a JFK assassination lecture at Harvard, at Yale, and at Cambridge. Where the Cambridge talk would be published subsequently under the title Reasoning About Assassinations, where I explained that my approach was to bring scientific reasoning to bear, engaging collaborative research by bringing together the best experts to sort out what happened there. So it's really a nice example of my methodology, and it's available to you online on the internet, Reasoning About Assassination. So I highly recommend. Jesse would also, during his show, Jesse Ventura's America, which I think was on CNBC, as best I recall, invited me and Beverly Oliver and Aubrey Ripe to be his guests on a show, where Beverly had been in Dealey Plaza and had seen Jack's brains blown out the back of his head, where Aubrey had actually assisted Charles Crenshaw in lifting the body into the bronze ceremonial casket and confirmed from the feeling the dimensions of the blowout, its enormity, and where I then was there to explain how they had altered the x-rays in order to conceal the massive defect. Subsequently, Jesse would do a show that's probably the best short program ever on the assassination, on his conspiracy theory show, where he flew me out to California to Ventura County, where we set up a shooting situation where Jesse is a far better marksman than Lee Oswald, had a Mannlicher Carcano that was in far superior condition, and where I laid out the dimensions, the angles, and the distances for a simulated shooting, where Jesse was shooting at three bales of hay that weren't in motion at all, and never less than three replication to three shots each, where I was doing the timing. He secured one hit in three repetitions of three shots, one hit. I mean, it was just so obvious this was a monstrous hoax, but then, of course, it was a monstrous hoax. In any case, Jesse and I go way back. I think he's a wonderful guy. I have a huge admiration for him. But in case of Trump in this election, he's on the completely opposite side. He was telling me Trump got his ass whipped. He believes the election was real, that he's had 33 attempts to bring court cases, each of which has been rejected. He has, I would say, to put it mildly, utter contempt for Donald Trump. Now, needless to say, my opinion is completely different. But, you know, I want Jesse to have all the time he wants to say his piece on this show. I believe 100% in freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And we'll have a most interesting conversation tomorrow that you don't want to miss. Now, just in case you'd like to have the number in advance, Mitchell will be fielding your calls during the second hour. And just as you're welcome to call me today, the second hour, the number is 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Needless to say, just to tie off about discussion of the assassination of John Kennedy, I did a recent overview about the assassination. You can find it at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. I think it's there as the number 60 of the shows I've been doing on Jim the Conspiracy Guy. You can check it out. That would have been the Sunday before last, where this past Sunday, that would be yesterday, I did the first of a two-part series about a request for Texas to provide a legal inquest into the death of JFK, which was never conducted because Lyndon Johnson very cleverly preempted all the state and congressional investigations into the assassination in one fell swoop by creating the Warren Commission and designating the FBI under the direction of J. Edgar Hoover as the sole investigative agency. And where, when they moved all the evidence from Dallas to Washington, which would have been completely inappropriate and unnecessary, they tidied things up. They made a substitution of weapons of both the rifle and the handgun with which he was alleged to have shot Officer J.D. Tippit. And Edgar, you know, was just as vehemently opposed to the Kennedy as was Lyndon himself. Or if you want to have a single figure most responsible, it was LBJ who wanted to be president of all the people. There's a brilliant book by Phil Nelson entitled LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination. I highly recommend. You only have to read a few chapters to understand this man was utterly ruthless, had no morality whatsoever, would brook no opposition, but he was also a masterful politician. He could analyze a man's weaknesses virtually on the spot and beating them. Fascinating stuff. We'll be right back with an update on the election and the research that's turning up a lot of oddity.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
¿Cómo va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very proud to be a member of the Revolution Radio staff, which is a wonderful entity. And I encourage everyone who has the opportunity to support for a very modest sum of $5 a month, as I recall. You can actually subscribe to the archives and get any show from any broadcast from Revolution Radio, Studio A, Studio B. I very much encourage you to do that. Now, I begin in addressing the election and the attempted theft with the president's executive order of 12 September 2018, titled Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a United States election. This is a completely brilliant move by the president. It begins, by the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including, and here he cites several legal bases, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, find that the ability of persons located in whole or in substantial part outside the United States to interfere in or undermine public confidence in United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure, or the covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation, I repeat that, or the covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. The executive order declared a national emergency that remains in effect to this day. And according to DC Dirty Laundry, the election was conducted under this state of emergency, a crucial point in understanding what they report next. Their article begins, unauthorized accessing of election infrastructure. In the EO executive order, the president also states that people and organizations located in part outside the United States are known to be able to interfere in or undermine public confidence in United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure or their covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation. If you're starting to see how this ties into CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and MSNBC, you're not alone. All of those organizations have been caught under this emergency declaration of foreign interference in U.S. elections, aided by complicit corporations on U.S. soil. Let's understand the ramifications here. Every news organization, as well as every Democrat operative, falls under this EO. The article continues. The EO further states that this foreign interference in U.S. elections constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. Why is this relevant to anything we're seeing right now with a massive election fraud carried out by the Democrats in the deep state? Because Dominion Voting Systems is a Canadian company, and Scylla, which we're tabulating the results on its servers in Frankfurt, is run out of Spain. Who else does the EO potentially involve? A number of big-name leftists. Sittle, by the way, is connected to George Soros and the Democrats. According to the Gateway pundit, Bill Gates also owns stock in Sittle. Dominion is Canadian. Sittle is from Spain. Both represent foreign interference in U.S. elections with data routed through servers in Germany. This EO, therefore, is a game changer as the national emergency order specifically calls for the seizure of all assets of entities that have directly or indirectly engaged in, sponsored, concealed, or otherwise been complicit in foreign interference in a United States election. Consider the potential recourse. The seizure of Facebook, Google, all media outlets and assets of individuals like the aforementioned Bill Gates, George Soros, and thousands of minions who will be outed. But it gets better. That's not even the full extent of what's demanded by the executive order. In Section 8, it explains the term person also means a partnership, association, trust, joint venture, corporation, group, subgroup, or other organization. In other words, any media organization that assisted in covering up or assisting foreign interference in a U.S. election is specifically targeted by this executive order. Further, it explains the term election infrastructure means information and communications technology and systems used by or on behalf of the federal government or a state or local government in managing the election process, including voter registration databases, voting machines, voting tabulation equipment, and equipment for the secure transmission of election results. That would include, of course, the Dominion voting systems as well as other voting systems used in the latest election. Things get even more interesting when you consider foreign interference. The article explains, any covert, fraudulent, deceptive, or unlawful actions or attempted actions of a foreign government or of any person acting as an agent of or on behalf of a foreign government undertaken with a purpose or effect of influencing, undermining confidence in, or altering the result or reported result of the election or undermining public confidence in election processes or institutions. Note the important words of altering the result or reported result of the election. This is exactly what big tech and the lying fake news media have done to America. More than merely a crime, it's treason. And it fell right into the national emergency trap Trump publicly announced in 2018, which now means all these corporations and organizations can have their assets seized literally overnight. This is very powerful stuff. A Congressman Louis Gohmert, by the way, mentioned the raid on the facilities where the servers were being kept in Frankfurt during an interview in Brighton. And according to the DC Dirty Laundry article, the raid appears to have targeted the CIA's Frankfurt server farm operation. They write, "We now also have confirmation from WikiLeaks documents that the CIA used a data center in Frankfurt as a remote hacking base to rig the U.S. election. WikiLeaks released a trove of CIA documents on Tuesday that it claimed revealed details of its secret hacking arsenal. The release includes 8,761 documents that it claimed revealed details of malware, viruses, trojans, weaponized zero-day exploits, malware remote control systems, and associated documentation. The leaks purportedly revealed that a top-secret CIA unit used the German city of Frankfurt on Main as a starting point for numerous hacking attacks on Europe, China, and the Middle East. The German daily, Süddeutsche, reported the building was known to be home to a vast network of intelligence personnel, including CIA agents, NSA spies, military secret service personnel, Department of Homeland Security employees, and Secret Service. It reported the Americans had also established a dense network of outposts and shell companies in Frankfurt. It appears the CIA was using the same foreign data center to hack the U.S. elections and got caught. This is precisely why, as the Gateway pundit reports, the CIA was kept completely out of the server raid operation that just took place in Germany. The raid was likely leveled against the CIA's own server farm that ran the remote Dominion hacking operation the night of the election. Now Team Trump is in the process of gathering irrefutable evidence of criminal collusion to carry out election interference, and the cover-up trails will lead directly to big tech, targeted censorship and collusion with China, and the fake news left-wing media gaslighting propaganda campaign to cover up evidence of foreign collusion. Unbelievably fascinating. We've had the confirmation from Sidney Powell that the Dominion servers in Germany were confiscated. Here's a report, by the way, from Jim Stone about it. Trump's press conferences, this is when Rudy and Sidney and Jenna Ellis, who turns out to be a completely brilliant attorney and the head of the Trump legal team, is so bad, meaning what they're revealing is so bad, it might trip a nuclear false flag. I'm not kidding. It's that bad. Actually, good, of course, if you want to expose the perp. But that's a matter of perspective. Finally, Trump's press conference today has me a lot worse than Trump or anyone else let on, but they have it. Many districts had a 300% voter turnout, meaning they had three times the number of votes cast as there were eligible voters to cast them. They had so many votes that exceeded the total number of people in the district. The press conference is game over. It's the nuke we've been waiting for. Rudy went extensively into the topic that it was a teamwork and massive corruption on a national scale. This is a total nuke. He also mentioned the compromised states used Venezuelan voting machines. He stated, American people voted for Trump. They didn't vote for Biden. And let me say, by the way, as an aside about the Venezuelan voting machines, there's an effort by the deep state and the CIA especially to suggest that Hugo Chavez wanted these machines so he could steal elections from the Venezuelan people. The truth, however, appears to be precisely the opposite, that the CIA was using the Dominion machines in Venezuela to deprive Hugo Chavez of the elections he won because the Venezuelan people were as supportive of him as the American people have been of Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Sidney has said, we are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. American patriots are taking this country back. Meanwhile, you may have noticed that Trump replaced the old Secretary of Defense Esper with Chris Miller, who announced, I've directed the Special Operations Civilian Leadership to report directly to me instead of through the current bureaucratic channels, where Special Ops Command will thereby evade the warmongering corrupt elements within the Pentagon and report directly to the White House, where it appears that Special Ops were used to seize the servers and where Louis Gohmert and others have revealed they now know exactly how the election unfolded it was indeed a massive landslide for Trump, that he actually won 410 electoral votes, including both California and Minnesota. Meanwhile, Attorney L. Lynn Wood, who's absolutely brilliant, has commented on the situation. Listen to what he had to say here.
These are times that try men's souls, as Thomas Paine would say. And, you know, sometimes you have a tendency to get down. You just this drumbeat from the press, the mainstream media, even Fox, trying to convince you Joe Biden's won the election. You're always looking for glimmers of hope and from optimists. And that's what we try to provide that for you every afternoon. And this morning I woke up and I was looking over the tweets, and I saw a tweet from L. Lynn Wood. He's a famous lawyer. We can get into some of the cases. He had Nicholas Sandman, for instance, from Covington Catholic, and he was involved in the Richard Jewell case a while back. I think he represents Kyle Rittenhouse now and the Kenosha shooter who defended himself. And he's working on the campaign, on the challenges. And he put out a tweet at 2:35 this morning. Time now to rest, comfortable in my belief that real Donald Trump won a historic landslide victory across nation on November 3rd. Be patient. Biden will never be president of our nation. To the contrary, Biden, along with many others, will be an inmate. Be patient. Trust Trump. Joining us now is Lynn Wood. Thank you. Thank you for that. That encouraging tweet that really improved my mood, and I'm sure hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other people this morning, Lynn Wood.
Well, thank you, Howie, and it's a pleasure to speak with you. I that tweet was at 2:35 a.m., and that not only speaks to, I think, the time and effort that I've been putting into this, but really it reflects almost round-the-clock efforts by members of the legal profession and ordinary people of this country that are determined to not only uncover the truth, but to expose the truth. And when all is known, I am 100% confident that Donald Trump will be president of the United States for 4 more years. And I'm just as confident that Joe Biden and the people like him that have been trying to steal this election and committing crimes for years, they're going to all go to jail.
What leads you to be so optimistic? I mean, there's still time, but we're coming up to the dates of the voter certification deadline start in about 9 or 10 days from now. And as you know, it's so hard to prove ballot fraud, especially when they've been mingling mingling the bad ballots with the good ballots to make it impossible for the law-abiding part of the population to do anything about this. Why are you confident? What leads you to think we're going to win?
I believe in we the people. This was a well-planned, probably almost for 2 decades, attack to overthrow our government. Was it well done in the sense of trying to hide the fraud? Sure, but it was too massive. Donald Trump surprised even the enemy by the wide margins in which he won in the key states they had targeted to steal. So in the middle of the night, they started having to produce tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands, of fake paper ballots. They had set that up with COVID. So will this be resolved by the courts? Yes. But I don't believe that it necessarily has to be resolved by the courts before the people in this country fully recognize by the irrefutable evidence that Joe Biden is illegitimate, his votes were fraudulent, he tried to steal this election and he failed. So the people of this country will actually do what the people in this country are supposed to do. The people will decide who the next president of the United States will be. It will be confirmed by the courts in terms of the illegality of the fraud. But between now and when all these deadlines come to pass, the evidence that will be put out over time will convince any fair-minded and objective American, even many who did not support Trump, that there was a concerted, calculated effort to steal our government and our freedom. And in the process, the record will show that they themselves killed many people in this country. These people are despicable. They're criminals. Going forward, I'm confident there will be no more corruption in the White House. Donald Trump's going to drain the swamp. Stay tuned.
Now, let me say, when you have attorneys of the caliber of L. Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell making these assertions, there's every good reason in the world to take them to be true. Unfortunately, the mainstream media and fake news give us many reports that may be forms of psyop. For example, just before going on the air, I have a report. George Soros arrested for election interference and in federal custody. An indictment focuses only on the criminal activity Soros allegedly participated in prior to the election, such as wire fraud, identity theft, and damage to computers. None of these claims have been proven in court, and Soros is, of course, recognized under the law as innocent until proven guilty. Let me make a nice philosophical point. You're guilty or not guilty insofar as you did or did not commit a certain illegal offense. You cannot, however, be punished by the state in restricting your life, liberty, or property until you have been found guilty in this process of judicial review, in other words, through the courts. So legal guilt or innocence is one matter. Guilt or innocence per se is another. Copies of the alleged indictment have been circulating online since last night when the arrest allegedly occurred. Some fact checkers are speculating the document here, this is showing a filing, is not real, while others have attested to its validity. The first known publication was in a news story on Your News Wire, a reliable conservative publication. An FBI source stated that the indictment will likely be updated to reflect election interference charges in relation to Dominion voting. Once the full scale of Soros' operation is known, he's currently being interrogated by the FBI. It's also notable a judge put a gag order on Soros' arrest. However, those laws don't apply to Canadian media, like the Conservative Beaver, which is the name of the publication that reported this story. So we have this report, even a possible Canadian connection. The FBI source indicated the service is aware of Soros operations in Canada, and Canadian police have executed a search warrants on Soros' home and offices in Toronto. Meanwhile, we have a counter report. George Soros arrested hoax. Financier is not under arrest in Pennsylvania. There's a hoax going around that George Soros was arrested in Pennsylvania. However, it is not true. Soros was not arrested. The person who made the hoax even went so far as to present a falsified indictment. But it's a fake version of a real indictment charging Russian hackers. There's a nonsense claim that Soros has been arrested for election interference, accompanied by a screenshot of a supposed indictment. Error level analysis of the image shows where someone has gone and erased the real name and typed in Soros' name, wrote freelance journalist Elise Thomas. Well, we don't know exactly what happened in that case, but I will tell you what I'm reporting right now is very, very significant. Breaking. Third Circuit Court of Appeals grants expedited review for Trump campaign appeal in Pennsylvania. Just like Detroit, Philadelphia has been a hot spot for voter fraud for years. Nothing has been done to stop it, so the fraud keeps on happening. Democrats have used cries of racism and vote suppression to stop any investigation into these cities' corruption. Is it time to stop for all Americans who want fair elections? Trump team attorney Jenna Ellis tweeted out the news. New Third Circuit Court of Appeals grants expedited review for Team Trump's appeal from Pennsylvania. I tell you, this is huge because the lower courts, the lowest courts, the circuit courts tend to be very corrupt and amenable to you know, improper rulings or failure to consider the evidence or to apply the applicable law So I have long believed that if justice were to emerge, it would be from the Court of Appeals and higher, which is, of course, the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, we have the Federal Election Commission chair speaking out on fraud in Pennsylvania, where a new analysis by a math expert has flagged up to 100,000 ballots in Pennsylvania that were fraudulently cast. This adds to the conclusion that there was some level of fraud in this year's election. Actually, there's a huge amount here. It also turns out that the largest number of cluster votes in Wayne County, Michigan, came from a psychiatric hospital for patients with severe mental illness. Hey, how nice is that? I estimate the number of ballots that were either requested by someone other than the registered Republican or requested and returned but not counted range from 89,397 to 98,810, said this mathematician. Meanwhile, we have the following report, which I received a couple days ago, about indictments being handed down. Listen to this.
It's just, yeah. All right, it's a shopping list. So you got to pay close attention. And if you need something redone, just say stop, and I'll do it over. So Loretta Lynch, indicted, 3 counts, conspiracy to control the government. 2 counts of obstruction of justice, 3 counts of lying to Congress. Sally Yates, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of obstruction of justice. John Brennan, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of lying to Congress. 2 counts of lying to investigators, 1 count of conspiracy to commit treason, 3 counts of obstruction of justice.
Pause there. Who was that?
John Brennan.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure everybody got that big name there where you heard conspiracy to commit treason. That's this stuff is jumping up the chain very quickly. Go ahead, Mike.
James Clapper, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of lying to Congress. CIA operatives indicted, no charge. 4 CIA operatives indicted, no charges listed.
These appear to be Durham indictments that have been released. More to continue when we're back from the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I think I'll continue with this report about the indictments. This guy is apparently a fairly famous blogger, but I don't know a lot about
it. If you need something redone, just say stop, and I'll do it over. So, Loretta Lynch, indicted, 3 counts, conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of obstruction of justice, 3 counts of lying to Congress. Sally Yates, 3 counts, conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts, obstruction of justice. John Brennan, 3 counts, conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of lying to Congress, 2 counts of lying to investigators, 1 count of conspiracy to commit treason, 3 counts of obstruction of justice.
Pause there. Who was that?
John Brennan.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure everybody got that big name there where you heard conspiracy to commit treason. That's this stuff is jumping up the chain very quickly. Go ahead, Mike.
James Clapper, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of lying to Congress. CIA operatives indicted, no charge. 4 CIA operatives indicted, no charges listed, which means that I wasn't given those and I don't have their names. James Comey, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government. 6 counts of perjury, 4 counts of obstruction of justice, 4 counts of falsifying government documents. Andrew McCabe, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of perjury, 3 counts of lying to Congress, 1 count of falsifying documents. Bruce Orr, 3 counts of conspiracy, actual what the conspiracy is unknown. But it's three counts of some kind of conspiracy. I don't have the actual charge. One count of falsifying documents. Baker, indictment charges unknown. Struck, three counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government. Four counts of perjury. Three counts of falsifying documents.
Four counts of falsifying documents on Strzok?
Strzok. Four counts of perjury. Three counts of falsifying documents. But he's still subject to a different. He's still subject to another grand jury.
I know.
A lot of these guys, yeah.
I'm trying to do the math on. It's not because the counts matter to me. What I'm trying to figure out is, okay, so if he's got those three counts falsifying documents, which three documents would Strzok have been in a position to falsify? That's where my brain's going.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to put the pieces together. Go ahead.
Well, it could be anything. It could be a 302.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So it could be anything. So, yeah. All right, Page, three counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, three counts of perjury, one count of obstruction of justice. Rod Rosenstein, five various charges, exact unknown at this time. Susan Rice, illegal use of government systems, three counts of perjury, one count of obstruction.
They got her on the fucking 702s. Yes.
Looks like it.
Let me just add that what we have here appears to be really the principal players from the corrupt FBI and Department of Justice involved in the Russiagate hoax. And the fact that the Baker, who is an attorney, and Rod Rosenstein were not cited with specific indictment suggests to me that's because they were cooperating, turning state's evidence over to Durham, and that, you know, we're finally seeing the culmination where my understanding is they delayed releasing until after the election, lest it appear it be an attempt to influence the outcome, where I know they knew very well that Trump was headed for a massive landslide. Corey Lewandowski, for example, would come on shows like Hannity and talk about the internal polling and why they were able to pull out of Ohio because it was already thoroughly committed to Trump. Pennsylvania, similarly, and a host of others. We do have a first caller today, my dear friend Giuseppe Vaffangulo from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, join the conversation.
Well, thank you, Professor. just in the middle of editing your need to know the FETSA report, today's episode, which will be up broadcast, web streamed in two or three hours. And just wanted you to know, wondering if you saw the breaking news that Michigan certified Biden's victory in Michigan, even though it's completely fraudulent.
Well, you know, these things are all going to be resolved ultimately at the appellate or higher level because the lower level courts tend to be overwhelmingly corrupt and amenable to local political pressure. Cindy herself observed that they ought not to be stupid enough to certify. I think there's tremendous pressure now from the Democrats and the monsters who back them to get the states to certify so that the General Service Administration might be forced to declare Biden as having won the election. But my suspicion is, and my inference is Lynn Wood was addressing this, that the Supreme Court will invalidate the election and that in accordance with procedures specified by the Constitution, it will be sent to the Congress to resolve where the House votes for the president, the Senate, the vice president, the method in the House being each state will cast one vote. There are, of course, 50 states, therefore 50 votes. And where how the vote is cast is determined by the individual state legislatures, where 38 state legislatures are controlled by the Republicans. I therefore do not believe the outcome is ultimately in doubt. But it's unquestionably the case that in states like Michigan that they should go forward with certification when there's so much proof of fraud is, in my opinion, a colossal political blunder but the individual legislators may have felt they were under such pressure that they had no choice.
Well, that's fascinating. I guess it's really two realities right now. The globalist color revolution reality is marching ahead. Biden won the election. He's naming his cabinet and his administration. He's ramping up. Everybody's pressuring Trump and the clown world media to concede. And so that's the one reality. And then the other reality is the unknown patriot reality, where, you know, what does Sidney Powell really have up her sleeve, and how can they really get to the Supreme Court in time to invalidate this election? It's like there's two, like in a sci-fi movie, two separate dimensions coexisting at the same time and completely independent of each other. It's just bizarre.
Well, let me just add that such independent figures as the chairman of the Federal Election Commission has concluded that the Trump campaign is bringing legitimate accusations of election fraud to the court. His review of the evidence, including numerous affidavits claiming voter fraud, a sworn statement from a prominent mathematician flagging up to 100,000 Pennsylvania ballots, met the first level of legal scrutiny under what's known as a motion to dismiss. The next legal threshold beyond is the summary judgment phase, where the credibility of witnesses, meaning all the assumed, all the gathered affidavits and so forth, are assumed to be authentic, especially given the caliber Traynor has observed. When considering a motion from summary judgment, the court will review all the evidence in the light of the most that is most favorable to the movement's opponent, explained Cornell University Law School's Legal Information Institution website. What I would be concerned with, were I on the other side of the election contest going on around the country, is if you look at the level of evidence provided by the affidavits, hundreds of affidavits that corroborate events that have happened on the ground in a summary judgment phase of these cases, you have to take the evidence of the plaintiff as being true. So the question becomes, how will they respond? The press conference, of course, was described by Giuliani as being an opening statement in a legal sense. It's not the actual presentation of evidence. And I was personally massively disappointed in Tucker Carlson when he said he'd invited Sidney Powell to come on to his show last Thursday, that she declined to do it. I'd always felt one of Tucker's weaknesses, maybe the only, was a lack of appreciation for the ubiquitousness of conspiracies. And when he came back Friday and addressed the issue again, I didn't find much there to sustain my confidence in him. Where he said, well, if they are proven right, then it will be a case of massive fraud, perhaps the greatest in history. Seems to me Tucker, in this instance, isn't keeping his ear close enough to ground to really understand what's going on, or just somehow doesn't have the intellectual acumen to follow it. Either way, I am profoundly disappointed in Tucker Carlson.
Well, I mean, it's the globalists are lining up their minions, and there's a lot of minions. And it's, you know, it's going to be an amazing jujitsu flip for Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, and the people trying to bring some integrity to this election to be able to pull it off. I mean, to me, the power of this globalism, and they control the banks, they control the media, they control 95% of the federal elected officials. It's just, they just want to dictate reality, and it seems as though they are.
Let me add that a Rasmussen poll conducted November 17th to 18th showed nearly half of all likely voters, 47%, believe the election was stolen by Trump. Might not be surprising that most Republicans and a lot of independents, but according to the poll, 30% of Democrats believe it's very likely or somewhat likely that it was stolen. That's a remarkable number, huge in fact. It's perfectly consistent, however, with what happened when C-SPAN followed the Republican convention and was taking callers from the Democrats and the Republicans. So many Democrats were calling in to declare they were going to vote for Trump that they had to revise their lines to a Trump line and a Biden line, lest they get no Biden supporters on the air at all. We've been joined by Paul. Contribute to the conversation, my friend, from California, because the latest results we have, by the way, Paul, suggest, as you may or may not have heard me observe earlier, that both California and Minnesota went for Trump when they cracked out the actual count on the servers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, before I discuss my theory I have, want your input on, I'll give you my take on Tucker Carlson. I think Giuseppe would probably agree, because Giuseppe strikes me as a manly guy, you know, if nothing else by the tone of his voice and some of the stories he shared with me. But I don't think Tucker Carlson is man enough, in my opinion. Tucker Carlson strikes me as the kind of guy who wouldn't stand his ground when some Mexican is asking him to put a mask on, just like I witnessed on a recent video from some news station down in Southern California where, you know, this white guy comes into a convenience store at a gas station and basically gets into a confrontation with some Mexican in a black mask, you know, who's ordering him out of the store. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's going out here. It's what I call real world stuff. And Tucker Carlson is obviously an intellect. He's a very smart man and he can speak well. But is he the kind of guy you want to, you know, have on your team when you got to take the field and make tackles? And I think that's all that this is coming down to. So just for the fun of it, you know, as I curl up in a ball in my room under code purple 0.2 in California because Gavin Newsom says I can't go anywhere. So I guess I just won't. I guess I'll just stay here because I'm afraid of the virus and I don't want to catch it. And so, you know, I'm taking in a little bit of the, you know, the football scene here and there. And I have a little theory, Jim, and I'll share it with you. I think that real world consequences, you know, come back with karma. And so, therefore, the states that have betrayed Trump are suffering big time in football. So, for example, your own state, Wisconsin, it just lost on the road at Northwestern as a 7-point favorite. Very sad to see that. And, of course, you know, they normally easily handle a school such as Northwestern. Michigan has sunk so low as they have one win, and it's against lowly Rutgers, who's not even a bona fide member of the Big Ten. Since when is right? First of all, it's the Big 14, by the way. At least when they call it the Pac-12, there's actually 12 teams. The Big Ten is now 14, and Rutgers is the stepsister, and they had to go to triple overtime to beat them. Michigan State has also been laid low, having a very, very poor season. They betrayed Trump. And Pennsylvania, Penn State, is winless. And they just got thumped by Iowa, a red state. So
That's such a curious observation, Paul, but you're right. I mean, that was just a terrible game played by Wisconsin. I was really distressed. Because we got this really good quarterback. Our first couple of games were excellent, but this was a total disaster. Your correlation with the states is very, very intriguing. I mean, I can't presume there's a bona fide causal relationship, but it's sure a fascinating observation. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know. Just inference to the logical explanation, because Pennsylvania is the most important state that really screwed Trump over. And, you know, Penn State is normally a powerhouse. They're a deserved member of the Big Ten, and they're winless.
Now, do you want to come to the point about the election and so forth, or shall I bring in Dean from the UK is standing by to join us?
Yeah, let him, I'm just having some fun here.
I'm glad to have you here. Dean, please join us and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, To hopefully not flog a dead horse, I just wanted to go back to the Tucker Carlson issue. As I was listening to a show that's on YouTube called The Duran, and they went looking into Tucker Carlson's previous shows, trying to look for when Sidney potentially went on his shows. And they came to a conclusion, which I thought was quite believable, that actually in his past career prior to joining Fox, he had a bit of an ego problem. And I think he's rubbed people up the wrong way. And certain people like Sidney just have chosen other people to talk to. In combination with what you said, obviously he's not getting the point that big news being spilt before these major court cases is not a good thing. But yeah, to me, it seems like old wounds. He's still struggling with his ego. He's putting the scoop ahead of the good of the country, it sounds like to me.
Well, it was very disappointing. I've been a huge fan of Tucker. I've recommended his show over and over. He did a completely brilliant job with Tony Bobulinski. He was a business partner of Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Jim Biden, the Biden crime family, giving a wonderful expose that drew 7.8 viewers, the highest in the history of cable television of any show ever watched. He's so often spot on and cuts through the smoke and mirrors to get to the bottom. But in this instance, he was grossly unfair to Sydney. She explained to him that she can't come on and talk about the evidence, and that has to be presented in court. He ought to have accepted that rather than complained about it. I thought it was highly inappropriate. Mark Levin even went after Tucker for his naivete in the way in which he irresponsibly was castigating Sidney Powell. Now, we need to address the issue that the Trump legal team has issued a statement that Sidney is not a member of the president's legal team formally and what that represents. The mainstream, of course, wants to give it a negative spin and say that what this means is that she's been given the boot by the Trump legal team, which, given her distinction as a lawyer, for example, as a champion of Michael Flynn, is, I think, completely wrong. But what they want from the point of view of propaganda, my interpretation is different, that Sidney has special responsibilities and types of cases she's going to file where it's important that she be independent of the Trump team. I do believe, by the way, that Sidney would be an absolutely brilliant appointee at either the FBI or the Department of Justice, as would Durham, whose report appears to have been very, very substantial and significant. Maybe Durham for FBI, Sidney for DOJ, or vice versa. I could see either one working. I want to go back to Giuseppe. Your thoughts, my friend. If Giuseppe has stepped.
Yeah, I'm here. That was fascinating by Paul tying the whole nanny state scamdemic of nanny will take care of you, Democratic states, and everybody's got the corona. You know, the corona is just the common cold, and there's infinite mutated derivations of the common cold in this world. There's the common cold, the corona, in every human, in every mammal, in every reptile. It's in the dirt. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's omnipresent. And it mutates a lot. And a lot of these bugs, sadly, SARS, MERS, H1N1, swine flu, bird flu, now the new one, the new attenuated, weakened bioweapon, SARS-CoV-2, they make you really sick. I mean, they're intended to. They're intended to linger and sit in your system. I had SARS. My wife had SARS in 2018 when some German friends of theirs who worked at Lufthansa came and visited us, and they were sick with it. And that is a nasty, nasty bug. And you think you get rid of it, and then it goes and hides in your stomach. And if you have like some sugary dessert, all of a sudden you weaken your immune function a little bit. Boom, it's right back in your lungs again. And so I would say that that the insanity of the nanny states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, and let me just say what a flipping freak show Pennsylvania is with the closeted pillow-biting governor, the mentally deranged tranny health commissioner, and there's another older judge who's just a grotesque tranny painted up in heavy makeup. I mean, it's a freak show, and it's just what they've done to professional and college-level sports in service of this great reset of this new normal is satanically criminal. And these people, it's getting to the point where skip the trial, just hang them.
Paul, your thoughts?
Hear. Indeed. And since when do we need all these government posts anyway? What do we need a health commissioner for? I mean, it's just, we've been had all these ridiculously contrived political positions foisted upon us for decades now, so that we have this unbelievably ridiculous and, in my opinion, unnecessary and in often cases overlapping complex government departments and titles all tripping over each other just to cash a check, and they have literally zero authority. How many court cases do we need, as if we ever needed one? But the district court in Pennsylvania, the district court in Colorado, courts in Michigan, Illinois, out here in California, again, the decision was finalized. It was a tentative decision. I printed that copy out, and now I have another copy of the final decision of a court here where Gavin Newsom was permanently enjoined from issuing further executive orders. And it spelled out in the decision that he was outside of his constitutionally granted authority to do anything other than what is, you know, described in his position. So in other words, he can't give orders. He can't give mandates. And yet here he is. Here these people are again acting as if. Remember that old saying from whatever it was, the 80s or the 90s, as if? Well, all these people are acting as if they really have any power or authority. And the thing that makes me sick, and the reason I call people pussies and bitches and all the other names and the way that I have contempt for them, is they actually believe it. And the bottom line is, I guess I'm kind of an asshole most of my life. And even if I did believe it, I'd make them prove it to me. Okay. I'd make them do it. Okay. You want me to wear a mask? Put the mask on me yourself. I've had it. I'm sick of it. And in my opinion, there's no way out of this electorally, politically. Trump, if he's going to do something, obviously I want him to win. There's no doubt about that. But is he a killer? Okay. Because you got to be a killer like LBJ and some of these other politicians. If you want to win, if you got enemies and we got enemies, Trump has enemies. So if he does get in, does he have the will to power? In my opinion, that's the only thing that matters. I've made that point before. Thanks for hearing it again. I appreciate it, Jim.
Yeah, sure, Paul. Let me just say, just as an illustration, Media Matters is spinning it. Trump campaign parts ways with Powell after vote switching claim. But I have no doubt that massive numbers of votes were switched. Massive numbers of votes were just lost. I mean, Sydney's right across the board. When we return, we're going to bring in Mitchell for some of his thoughts about these issues. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of
knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
By the way, for those who want to catch up, who haven't been following all these developments on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, you'll find a number of very good, rather concise characterizations of what happened, including one from Dr. Ewan about Trump legal team. Trump won in a landslide so massive vote counting was halted to adjust the rigged Dominion software. This is how they do it. They had underestimated the massive voter turnout in support of Trump. So early in the morning hours, they had to actually stop the counting, adjust the number of votes, bump it up for Biden with a whole mass of fraudulent votes, and then adjusted the vote count thereafter. So Biden would maintain a very narrow edge over Trump thereafter to guarantee he would win the state. You can find that there. There's a very nice piece from attorney Lynn Wood that the country is going to be shocked when they find out the truth about who's been occupying the Oval Office for some period of time. Here are just a couple comments before I bring in Mitchell. So the Supreme Court is being aligned. The Department of Defense was recently realigned by the president. Take a look at how he put in place a cyber terrorism and terrorism expert. As I said, look at what he did in 2018 with the executive order to deal with foreign interference in our nation's elections. Look, I'd like to see in a perfect world John Durham's report comes out and people go to jail. I'd like to see Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and a lot of people go to jail. I'd like to see what's on Hunter Biden's laptop. I'd like to see those people go to jail. I'd like to see what's on Anthony Weiner's laptop. I'd like to see a lot of people go to jail. And then when we get to the final phase of the election fraud, I'd like to see people go to jail. The one thing I'll say is there'll be an intermingling. There will be people going to jail, I believe, who are involved in all or some of those same investigations. He concludes, the truth has to come out. I believe it will. I do not think that you can hide the truth. I do say it, and I believe it. Every lie will be revealed. This country is going to be shocked when they find the truth about who's been occupying the Oval Office for some period of years. They're going to be shocked at the level of pedophilia. They're going to be shocked at what I believe is going to be a revelation in terms of people who are engaged in satanic worship. Any guesses who Lynn Woods is referring to with a photograph here where you see Barack and Michelle Obama sitting beside Bill and Hillary Clinton? I think that's exactly right. Mitchell, your thoughts. Virginia, of course, was an early call by Fox, as was Arizona. It was bizarre that they were called so early. Fox, alas, appears to have been part of the elaborate scheme to steal this election from the American people. And mind you, it's not only Donald Trump who's harmed, it's the American people and their right under the Constitution to determine the governance of our country. Mitchell, your thoughts.
Well, what we know, and we can see it in Pennsylvania, from the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, that the Pennsylvania State Constitution doesn't mean anything, and that the Secretary of State can act as a, basically act as an independent agent and do whatever she wants. This, you know, the many irregularities in Pennsylvania and Georgia, where to, how should we say it, ladies and gentlemen, where, you know, the primary safeguard, you know, that check of that signature has been thrown out the window and has just been discarded. So, you know, basically, you know, imagine if the banks just never looked at signatures on checks. If you wanted to, you know, you could run through as many as you want till your name flagged something. Clearly in Nevada, it's at least 1 out of 9 times your fraudulent signature gets caught. 87% error rate, according to a test done by one reporter. So, you know, it depends on if the courts are honest or not, which, well, 5-2 Democrats on the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And that's exactly how they voted. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that Democrats will throw the rule of law and everything else out the window on the path to, you know, by any means necessary to get the, you know, the social change in government they want to force. So it's a bad thing.
Well, it's truly disgusting, the degree of corruption that's enveloped this nation. I'm simply appalled. I would have called on Dean, but I take it he had to drop Mitchell. Is that correct? Or Dean, are you
still?
Yeah,
he had to take another call, I think. He'll probably be back.
Okay, let me go back to Paul then. Your further thoughts.
Yeah, so a brief comment on, you know, what Mitchell was saying. You know, and again, we're all using the word Democrat, and I understand it. But essentially, these people are our enemies. If they're not outright our enemies, they're cooperating with our enemies. There's no doubt about the fact, and I think, Jim, it's easy to agree with this, that we are seeing a plot with real material world consequences against our way of life, against our very health, against obviously our right to make a living, to earn an income, to support ourselves, against every single thread that composes the fabric of society. This is what these people are after. And that's why I'm so adamant in my attitude about that. This is a war and we have to look at it as a war. And if Trump is not looking at it as a war, then what good is he? Now, I'm in favor of him, as I made my point, and I've kept up with a lot of your articles on your blog. You have an excellent site. I go there on a regular basis. I recommend it to others. And I've kept up with the arguments. I've listened to Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani. And, you know, it's like they win on any number. They have multiple ways to attack this. And in my opinion, if you go by what has occurred in a lot of other cases of various sorts, when you have one defect, it's got to be thrown out. It's got to be like a mistrial and we start again. I mean, you know, with, for example, such things as Miranda versus Arizona, they let criminals go on a so-called technicality because he wasn't advised of his rights, even though even in the case of Miranda, he was guilty. He was like a guilty guy. He was a criminal with a record.
Yes.
That's what a lot of people don't know about that case. But mentioning Georgia briefly, so yeah, and part of my reading through and listening to various videos about this, it was mentioned that Georgia recently spent, you know, I think they used the figure of $100 million. I'm not sure, but that's what sits in my mind. A big number of millions of dollars to buy these voting machines, and all I could think of, it just made me so angry. I'm so sick to my stomach over this crap. Because of the corruption. We don't need any damn voting machines and computers to count votes. You know what? In every single precinct, you could bring the local Boy Scout troop in, right, supervised by a local mom and dad, and they could count the votes. All this ridiculous nonsense about the fact that, oh, we need some special computer with a special proprietary software that figures things out in just a certain way. And, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable what's happened to this country. And we only have one group to blame for it. And we all know who that group is on this call.
Well, Paul, I'll just tell you, I think that you have a point across the board. And it appears that the reason the mainstream media, which is very heavily controlled, whereas I've mentioned before, I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens, another from NBC, 100 executives, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens, a third coming from the New York Times, 100 executives, all of whom are dual U.S. Israeli citizens, where the big tech companies and the social media giants all appear to be Israeli controlled. I believe Israel likes to use the United States as though it were a throwaway, that, of course, they attacked us on 9/11 to give a pseudo pretext for entering the Middle East to take out their modern Arab states that were serving as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. I believe the mainstream media controlled by the Zionists is seeking to undermine Trump because he refuses to attack Iran. I really do think that's a collateral issue here. And if you look at this from the same point of view, I recommend the assassination of JFK in terms of sponsors, facilitators, and mechanics. The mechanics in JFK's case were eight shooters or supervisors and those who set up the sequence of shots. In the case of the electronic assassination of Trump, it's the media and the social media who are censoring and reporting false news. But the sponsors include the social media giants, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, the depopulationists, Israel, and, you know, the big pharma, because they want to make big money here. Similarly with JFK, it included the CIA, the military joint chiefs, the mafia, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Fed, and Israel again. I mean, there's a really great parallel here where the facilitators in JFK's assassination were Lyndon Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover, where Johnson, in virtue of becoming the new president, was in a position to control the whole future course of events, where he shut off all the independent investigations, and there were many in the works, by appointing the FBI as the sole investigative agency and thereby controlled the flow of information. In the case of the facilitators with regard to this attack on Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, remember, these are people who told Joe Biden he should never concede the election. Where Barack Obama has been outrageous by merely relocating a couple of miles from the White House to continue to run a counter-Trump effort to destabilize and delegitimize his election. These are people who must be held to account. But I'll tell you, in one point, Paul, I think you're completely wrong. Donald Trump knows this is all-out war. Mark my words, in my opinion, he will take no prisoners. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think that Lynn Wood was exactly right. And the reason Trump is distancing from Sidney Powell is she finally had enough and told the truth that, you know, Israel is the retail outlet for the Rothschild Talmudic satanic global criminal cabal. That's they created Israel. They wanted a retail store outlet. And so the reality is a million, these Satanists control this government. A million children a year are stolen, disappeared, and used in human sacrifice sex trade by the minions of these Talmudic Satanists. And the media and the sheeple are getting bent out of shape because there's so-called 250,000 deaths from a common cold mutated virus, when most of these people died because of comorbidity. And now with wearing these stupid masks, the masks make you sick. The masks, especially the cheap ones, are full of toxins, you know, that cause If you're all like fibrosis, no cure, you'll die slowly as these particles get in your lungs and create a cancer-like growth. This is insane. And yet the real evil that's everywhere and controls government, industry, banking, medicine at every level is unspoken. And so these people, if they succeed, Lynn Wood and Powell and the other patriots on Twitter and these various social medias who haven't been censored and knocked off, they get it. The only solution is a revolution, and a revolution that removes these Satanists from this plane.
Let me just say that there are so many elementary fallacies going on here, like fallacy of ambiguity, using the word case to ambiguously to mean a positive result to a test versus being infected, where we know 98% of the cases turn out to be false positives, or more searchingly with a number. Even if you take 220,000, that's trifling compared to the millions who die every year from the flu, the millions more who die every year from malaria. So what they're doing is special pleading, just focusing on the evidence, trying to make us feel very serious and gasp over what are relatively minor numbers of people who are dying, and where they're even mapping COVID deaths onto natural deaths that would have occurred anyway, COVID or not.
Right.
It's exactly.
Senator Scott Jensen from Minnesota reported way back when, Giuseppe.
But, okay, all right.
Go ahead, Paul, go
Can
ahead.
I go?
Yeah.
So Tim, here's the thing, and it's nothing to do with you, because it's very easy to fall into the trap of using the terms that we're given. In other words, their talking points, and now we're addressing their talking points. So you talked about false positive. Again, this is a meaningless term, because positive doesn't mean anything. Okay, their tests don't test for anything. Giuseppe knows this. Everybody that has kept up with this topic knows this. So a positive test means nothing. Pardon me. And a negative test means nothing. The whole thing is a fraud. It's a fraud from top to bottom. Just like the
election. Paul, that's non-responsive, because the public is interpreting a positive result as meaning you got it when it doesn't mean that at all. Your point is correct, but it's irrelevant to the public understanding. And I don't like it when you get hyper-technical like that, when there's an important lesson to be learned for the public that you, by being hyper-sophisticated, are obfuscating. That's a mistake on your part.
Hyper-sophisticated saying the test is meaningless?
Paul, just hold up.
Okay. And it's not hyper-sophisticated.
Well, sadly, the public believes that the cult of the white lab coat, which is allopathic Rockefeller industrial waste medicines, and now big pharma is the right hand to the Rothschild criminal cabal. You have the big pharma criminal cabal, which are spending literally billions upon billions of advertisings. You may have these symptoms. Ask your doctor if Xylia is correct for you, but be aware of the side effects: explosive diarrhea, your hands will fall off, you know, all this crazy stuff that they're just trying to convince weak-minded citizenry that, oh, if my doctor says it's true, I want it. And the sad thing is, you know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and here's what I mean. There's a lot of great medicine, Western medicine, surgeries that are phenomenal. If you have a heart attack, you're in a car crash, they're going to keep you alive. Acute Western trauma care is the best in the world. And so there's a lot of good things that have developed out of the American Medical Association. But sadly, in most cases these days, they don't follow their own hypocritical oath. I can't say it. That the do no evil, do no harm, rather. And so they're doing a lot, the Hippocratic Oath, they're doing a lot of harm right now, and they are being pressured. It's such an insane system where you've got six-figure, seven-figure drug reps coming and giving presentations, sounding like they know what they're talking about, when it's just a toxic melange of marketing points and rigged studies, you know, where you actually, it's not a study, it's modeling and such.
Thanks, Giuseppe. I want to return to Paul momentarily. Paul, the point I'm making is, no, the public will not believe the test means nothing. That's your position. The test means nothing. Well, it means something. And the point is that there are positive results that aren't meaning that you have the infection and positive results that mean you do. And the point is 98% of these tests are giving false positives and cranking up the number in an absurd way. It's scientifically wrong. It's an elementary fallacy, as I'm seeking to explain. Mitchell, I'd like to bring you in before Paul goes off on me. Mitchell.
Hey, everybody. As you guys are hard to follow. Well, you know, we live in this this new idiocracy. They did do the great reset. Yeah, it was a reset to stupidity, and we see it constantly. The other piece is there are so many false flag bones out here that are being thrown out now that, you know, you have to be careful what is or isn't a fact right now. So
let me just say something about this Sidney Powell thing, because it's very disturbing to me in the following respect, which I just put two and two together. If Sidney Powell is not part of the Trump legal team, she might not have standing to bring these cases into court, because you have to be an affected party to have that standing. So if that's the case, then I'm profoundly troubled, because I believe Sidney has been on the right track. She's demanding that any state that used Dominion voting systems ought to be disqualified, decertified, or declared invalid, in which case the court would rule that the entire election was invalid and send it back to the Congress for resolution, as I've already explained, where each house has a separate responsibility. Representatives, each state casts one vote determined by the state legislatures, where since the Republicans control 38, Trump is pretty much of a shoe-in president and the Senate would return Mike Pence. I'm now even more concerned than I was before that this separation from Sidney may have been, in fact, a very devastating development. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think that the globalists are hell-bent on installing Groper Joe Biden as the 46th president of the United States, and it's going to take extraordinary means at this point to reverse that.
Well, if Joe Biden is inaugurated on 20 January 2021, that's the trigger for the second American Civil War. Most Americans, polls show, believe we're headed for a civil war. Militias are preparing for it. I say, everyone within the sound of my voice, you cannot count on the police to defend you. The Democrats have been defunding the police. They campaigned on it. You're going to have AOC and others declare they have a mandate to defund the police, which is as lunatic a campaign platform as the world has ever known. You must prepare. You must stock up on supplies. If you don't have the means to defend yourself, you must acquire them. If you don't know how to use a gun or don't possess one, by God, learn. You've got a few weeks ahead of you to prepare.
Well,
20 January, not quite 2 months. And I say, my God, it's going to be a ship storm, and there's going to be hell to pay if this moves forward.
Not.
Paul, your thought.
Because you're acting as if these people, these left-wing lunatics, social justice warrior, Antifa, you know, all these people are just going to go berserk when Biden and Harris are in. I mean, that's all the reason for them to be happy, right? So the Trump supporters are not going to do the rioting and the looting and go berserk. They may just sit around and be ready in case something happens, but the bottom line is, you know, the so-called conservative Trump reporters,
you've completely inverted my meaning. Every red-blooded American has to be willing to take a stand to fight for the future of this country. Every day Biden and Harris are in office, they grow stronger, we grow weaker. The trigger is January 20th.
There's not that many red-blooded Americans that are going to take a stand on anything because they're too weak. And I've seen it, and you've seen it, and Giuseppe has seen it.
Paul, this is very, very different. This is very, very different. They're going to institute the great economic reset. They're going to require us to surrender all of our property and assets. Otherwise, if we don't accept their vaccine agenda, we'll be declared public health menaces. We'll be confined to FEMA camps. If ultimately we don't need to surrender all of our property in return for a guaranteed income in 30 square feet of living space, we're going to be exterminated.
Okay, but Jim, this is
for all the marbles.
Yes, I know, but that's what they want us to be afraid of. It's not necessarily going to come to pass in a year or two. The bottom line is this is what they always do. Is they want us to fear. They want us to be uneasy. They want us to have a sense of foreboding.
I'm giving my assessment. I know you have yours, okay? You've had the chance to give yours. You've given it. That's it. Okay. Stop. Everyone needs to prepare because I tell you, this is going to be absolutely devastating to the United States. And if you don't want to have your children and their children live as serfs or as slaves, we must take back our nation. If the judicial system fails us and Donald Trump is not returned as the democratically elected president of the United States, we have a big time problem on our hands. And I believe there will be no alternative way to deal with it than by following the acclamations of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, you find yourself dominated by tyranny, you as a people have the right to take up arms to oppose it. I'm saying we are reaching that point. My assessment, Paul can have whatever opinions he wants. I give him plenty of opportunity to share them. This is my opinion as a former Marine Corps officer who has some experience in this area. We cannot allow this country to be taken over by these nitwits and criminals who are going to do us massive damage so serious that they will be turning over the country to the World Economic Forum, to the international bankers, to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. It is as serious as it gets. I want to thank you all for joining us today. And tomorrow I'm going to have the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, as my guest. And we'll have an alternative point of view from him. And I'm very eager to share with Jesse his thoughts with all of you. Stand by. Jesse Ventura tomorrow. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Revolution.